Welcome to the Regional Roundup, a production of Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a coalition of public and community radio stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including this one. I'm Maeve Conran, the coalition's managing editor, and coming up on today's show, it's all about learning music. We'll head to Telluride to hear from some students as they prepare for a performance of the Beatles album, Abbey Road.
I didn't really know the album very well either, so this has been good for me to like experience, and I really like it. I've enjoyed the music a lot.
Then we'll hear from the founder of a renowned summer jazz camp in rural Colorado.
One of the main components of jazz is improvisation. You feel the music and you're able to improvise.
Then we'll hear about a program at the University of Utah that brings piano lessons to communities across Salt Lake City.
We bring music classes to Title I elementary schools and public libraries in Salt Lake City as a goal to bring equitable education to Salt Lake.
After that, a band director in Western Colorado talks about the long-lasting impact of music education in schools.
I have kids that are doctors now. I have kids that are in law professions, lots of former students in all kinds of roles. And I'd like to think that being in band and learning the skills that they did has helped them with that.
And we'll pay a visit to a musical instrument repair store that supports thousands of students enrolled in local band and orchestra programs.
We really love seeing them enjoy music.
From Rocky Mountain Community Radio, it's the Regional Roundup. Late last year, Abbey Road came to Telluride. Students from the Telluride Middle High School, performing as the Major Minor's Uptown Brass Band, performed the entire Abbey Road album live at the Poem Theatre last November. As KOTO's Julia Caulfield reports, the performance featured vocals, bass, guitar, keys, drums, and strings.
KOTO News spoke with vocalists Itzel Hernandez and Barrett Prince, drummer Dylan Ricine, and keys player Ryan Hubbard.
I didn't know the album all that well before this class, so it's been really cool getting to know the album better, and then just like diving deeper into it has been really cool because I don't think I've ever looked so closely at a piece of music before, so that's been really fun.
When you start like connecting really and getting empathy with each other, because you have to like, sometimes it's your own individual part, but you're kind of doing a part with somebody else because they kind of connect, and it's really cool to be a part of that.
I didn't really know the album very well either, so this has been good for me to like experience, and I really like it. I've enjoyed the music a lot.
It's been really chaotic but really fun, because I remember we were all just coming together, putting different sounds together, and then it came together in the end.
I think it's really cool when all of the singers get their harmonies together, because we've practiced a lot and it's really hard because there's like three or two part harmonies, and then it sounds really good when we actually like successfully do it.
having mostly just played by myself before this, it's kind of cool to see how like everyone's parts complement each other. Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it almost enhances individual parts when we're all playing together and like getting the timing right. I think it was intended to be interpreted as a whole. So, you know, we've done like a little individual research on certain songs and stuff, but I feel like it's been really cool to, you know, not just listening to individual songs, but also like playing it all the way through and, you know, getting the story.
It's pretty exciting because, like, honestly, sometimes the album is kind of like a play almost, because like there's different parts of the song, like in the song You Never Give Me Your Money, it gets repeated this part at the end many times through the album, and it's really cool how everything comes together, and it's almost as if it's one big song sometimes.
I really hope that everybody walks away and sees that we didn't just copy something, we created something new and made it our own.
Thanks to KOTO's Julia Caulfield for that report on the Telluride Middle High School Major Minors Uptown Brass Band. They performed the entire Abbey Road album in Telluride last November. In a small mountain town in western Colorado, jazz brings musicians together from across generations. West Cliff's annual Youth Jazz Camp is an offshoot of a statewide organization that is dedicated to nurturing jazz education throughout Colorado. KLZR's Stephanie Sear reports.
The Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts began in 1999 with just 6 students meeting weekly in a small Denver studio. And over the past 25 years, it has grown into a statewide movement. Between 1989 and 2007, Westcliff, Colorado hosted the Jazz and the Sangres Festival, a celebration of live jazz that gave rise to the Jazz and the Sangres Camp in 2000, adding an educational element to the festival. At the center of the Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts and its camp is drummer, educator, and Denver jazz mainstay Paul Romaine, who co-founded the program with his wife Christine Romaine.
We hadn't even been an organization for a year yet. And the festival, they had an education committee that they had formed at the festival, and they wanted to have like a camp with kids. And so they asked us if we would do it. And my wife and I were just like, oh, yeah, sure. That should be fun.
Over the past quarter century, Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts has grown from a single small ensemble into a robust nonprofit organization serving hundreds of students annually through its after-school programs, workshops, and summer intensive, with its most beloved offering, the Jazz and the Sangres Camp.
Your allegiance in the music is to your fellow musicians. Your commitment is to the people that you're playing with, and they're not there to make you sound good. You're there to make them sound good. We learn that in jazz. You know how to improvise. You're a trained improviser. If you play jazz correctly, you're going to learn how to improvise for your life. You're going to learn to improvise on everything, whether you end up actually playing music or you end up using the music and your experience with it to inform how to approach a sticky situation.
Each summer, 25 to 45 high school musicians from across Colorado come to Westcliff for a week-long jazz camp in the Sangre de Cristo foothills. Students rehearse in small groups and as part of a big band. They learn from professional musicians and join nightly jam sessions. The week wraps up with student performances all around town.
One of the main components of jazz is improvisation. You feel the music and you're able to improvise. Anything can happen. Anything is open and anything is possible.
The Jazz in the Sangres camp not only strengthens young musicians' technical skills, but also fosters mentorship and a sense of belonging that has defined the Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts for 25 years. Many alumni go on to pursue careers in music or education, some even returning to teach the next generation. As the Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts celebrates its milestone anniversary this year, its influence continues to ripple far beyond Denver. From city stages to the quiet mountain town of Westcliff, the Conservatory's mission remains unchanged: to nurture creativity, connection, and community through the language of jazz. For KLZR and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Stephanie Sear.
The University of Utah Piano Outreach Program includes classes for students and opportunities for university student instructors throughout Salt Lake City. The long-running community partnership brings free piano education to Title I elementary schools. Laura Strobel, the director of the program, spoke with KRCL's Laura Jones on the show Radioactive. But first, we'll hear from mother and daughter Trang Le and Ashley Black. They both participate in the program, and they performed live in the KRCL studio.
Yeah, good evening. So again, my name is Trang. This is my daughter Ashley. We are going to play the Swan Lake Ballet. First, we want to say thank you to Miss Laura and thank you to the U of U School of Music for the opportunity to perform here tonight.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. We're going to have some more music later this hour from our piano players, including Laura Strobel, who is here. Will you grab that microphone? Just pull it down nice and tight. How are you?
Doing well. Happy to be here. Thanks, Laura.
You're the director of the program at the University of Utah, which is all about what?
We bring music classes to Title I elementary schools mm-hmm. and public libraries in Salt Lake City as a goal to bring equitable education to Salt Lake, bringing arts education to people of all demographics mm-hmm. and income levels.
That's fantastic. And are our artists tonight in the program?
Yes, they take private lessons at Kearns Library with one of our graduate student instructors, and they've been working on these pieces since about this past December.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there's a piano out at the Kearns Library?
Yes, the piano that's out there has actually been donated by the Mundi Project. Mm. We partner with several organizations to make these lessons happen, mm-hmm. and they're the ones that tune that piano, and that's yeah. what we use for our lessons.
I grew up with an old player piano in the home that I took lessons on till I was like 16. I haven't had anything like that. And now you've got pianos in the community for folks who also don't have that opportunity.
Yes, we do. We set up the piano labs at our different schools. We bring them over from the university surplus. We partner with Barris Piano Movers. We do all the installation, all the setup. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a wonderful program for the kids and adults.
Now, we heard a very classical piece, but you got anyone doing some Fats Domino, some Blueberry Hill, what?
Yes, definitely. Our last number tonight is going to be a transcription of Gershwin's fourth etude, Embraceable You.
Is that you playing that one?
Yes, that one would be a jazz one.
Was Laura Strobel, director of the University of Utah Piano Outreach Program, performing on KRCL's Radioactive. And thanks to Laura Jones at KRCL for that report. You're listening to the Regional Roundup from Rocky Mountain Community Radio. I'm Maeve Conran. Tens of thousands of students across the region take part in school music programs. While only a small number go on to pursue careers in music, educators say the lessons they learn can last a lifetime. Byron Church is the director of bands at East Grand Middle School and Middle Park High School in Grand County in Colorado. He says music education helps students build skills that extend far beyond the classroom. He spoke with KFFR's Ryan Wilson about the value of teaching music in schools and the lasting impact it can have on students' lives.
Being a former teacher myself, I feel like band and music and the arts is often, I wouldn't say a break, but a opportunity to make those other parts of your brain work. Tell me a little bit about what a student going through your program would experience, maybe going all the way from freshman year to senior year and graduating, or maybe, I guess we should say, from sixth grade to senior year and graduating.
Yeah, it's a long process. Band is a slow burn. That's one of the things that I think is so cool about it and so important is that with the age of technology and the things have gotten faster and quicker and, quote, easier, you play a flute or a clarinet or a trumpet the same way you did 50, 60 years ago. And so getting kids to understand that process and learn it and be willing to dedicate days on days and time over and over to improve those skills is really, really important. So they're going to have that longevity from sixth grade all the way through 12th. And then we're just working to teach kind of their heart and soul. There's a lot that goes into playing an instrument. They're reading new music. There's the muscle memory, the dexterity in the fingers and hands, and being able to produce a sound that's controlled and then blend that sound with other peers within their band or within their what we call our team is very, very important to the development of kids, I think, from sixth grade all the way up, because they're learning how to use emotion and use teamwork to build a product that is presentable for an audience and for themselves.
Hey, you've mentioned that a few times that you're part of a team when you're in a band, not unlike a sports team. Why do you think that team experience is an important part of that educational experience that they're getting at the school district in general?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, in sort of American culture and really worldwide culture, we're so used to seeing sports and being involved in sports, and those teams are important for our social intelligence, whether it's a work team, a school team, a rec league team, or a music team. And so we view the band like a team. The difference being that, you know, we're not looking across the court at a different team that's wearing a different uniform, a different color jersey, but we have our own team that we're trying to make good and make presentable and have people go, wow, that was a cool experience. And I know, I think, if you equate it, say, to, you know, a Nuggets game where you go down, you watch the Nuggets and they beat somebody and you go, yeah, and this is awesome. You have this good feeling and then you leave the stadium. There was a team that won and a team that lost. Whereas in band or in music, you have a team. We're just not trying to beat the other team necessarily. And so what we're trying to do is create that same experience of for an audience member of this was cool. This feels good. This was fun. This was entertaining. It spoke to my emotions. And consequently, the kids have that same reaction from the stage. And so we're building that experience for the kids and the audience and everybody that's involved.
So is the old adage that, you know, you're a band kid and that's it? Or do you have people playing sports that are band kids as well?
Oh, we have people in everything and I like it. I tell the kids all the time that I'm a little selfish. And by that, I mean, I want them to play basketball and football and all these different, athletic endeavors, because when they're running wind sprints for basketball and they're developing their lungs so that they can be strong in the fourth quarter, the band also benefits because that kiddo is now stronger to play their trumpet or flute or whatever. So, and then beyond that, I grew up playing sports as well. And that team element for band is important for baseball or for track or for hockey or whatever they're doing. So kids need that sort of release. And so we like having students that are involved in multiple things. And so I like seeing kids down on the court or down on the field or cheering. I have a lot of cheerleaders in bands. So we have it all. If there's an athletic endeavor, we generally have a band kid involved in there somewhere, and we like that.
In all your years, I mean, 20 years teaching in the classroom, have any of your students gone on to maybe play professionally in some capacity?
I have had some kids that have moved on to some really cool roles. Not as many out of Grand County yet, because I haven't been here long enough to really start getting kids graduated out, especially because I've spent my first 5 years here just in the middle school. So now that we're kind of rolling this thing all the way through 6th through 12th and hopefully beyond, I think we'll start to see a little bit more of that. I also try to emphasize too, though, that just because you're a musician in school band, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to be a professional, nor do you have to be. And I think, you know, through my career, 20 years, I've occasionally had kids or parents that have said, well, they're not going to be a professional trumpet player, so what's the point? And I always come back to little kids in ballet lessons, which are awesome. But sometimes you go to a 3 or 4 year old, you know, ballet recital or dance recital, and they're learning. They may not go and dance on Broadway or be part of the Rockettes, and that's fine. No one expects that. But what we're training them to do and how to have that discipline and how to move their bodies, et cetera, at that age is important. And so music is the same way. We're learning how to feed that heart and that soul. And they may go all the way through the program, 6th through 12th, and then after that, they may never play trombone again. But the lessons they've learned through doing it are incredibly important and relative to how they're going to conduct themselves as adults beyond that.
Byron Church is the director of bands at East Grand Middle School and Middle Park High School in Grand County in Colorado. He was speaking with KFFR's Ryan Wilson. Well, for all of the students that take part in school music programs, from high school marching bands to middle school orchestras, they rely on music stores to rent and to often repair their instruments. In Longmont on Colorado's Front Range, many local student musicians have passed through the doors of M's Music and Repair. The husband and wife team who run the store have seen just about every kind of instrument problem come through the door.
Hi. We are originally from Japan, and that's a good charm, good luck charm from Japan, our hometown. It's supposed to help our business. My name is Masashi. And I'm the co-owner of M's Music and Repair.
My name is Maya Tsuchiya. I'm also the co-owner with Masashi, and I'm the repair tech. My specialty is woodwind and brass wind.
A musical instrument is not my thing. However, it's my business. And a trumpet repair, which has got pretty beaten up bell. We repair instruments for most of the schools around here, and we do rental as well.
When I was little, 3 or 4 years, I started with playing a little organ and moved to classical piano. Also, when I was younger, I played violin, cello, and when I got older, I picked up saxophones.
Maya trained at a college in Washington State, where repair techs are expected to play every instrument they fix.
I can play maybe some major scale for each instrument, such as trumpets, trombones, baritone, and clarinet, flute, French horn. I'm not a brass wind player, so it's kind of hard to play a higher note, but I'm trying.
Monday is the busiest day. Typically, after we open at 11, people start coming in. Oh, I broke this. Saxophone is not working. Stuck mouthpiece on a trumpet, something like that.
So I hear what the pads sound before walking on to see what the ceiling feel like. And especially for the marching seasons, we get a lot of flipped bell trumpets and some bent keys on woodwinds as well. So I'm going to use the a specific bell mandrel on the vise and hit with the rawhide mallet. Sometimes we get flute. They got dropped through the bleachers because they are just straight and thin. And also, we have the busier time just before the concert. That's very typical. I have a story that there was a parent who wanted to make their daughter's clarinet perfect for the concert. So the night before, the dad took out his screwdriver and tightened all the screws to make sure. What happened is she cannot play some notes because the keys won't move. So they called us after hours so we could repair, and she didn't have any problem at the concert. So that's kind of the typical.
Never let the dads touch the instrument, I guess. That's the best way. Just bring it over.
The shop sits just a block from Longmont High, so Maya and Masashi sometimes pop over to see bands performing, especially on the annual band night. That's when marching bands from around the school district take to the football field.
The watching them is very enjoyable because I could recognize many kids' faces. Oh, I know him, I know her, and I know, of course, I know the band directors and I know the groups. It's fun to look for what instrument, which instrument I worked on. Sometimes, or maybe 50% of the time, I get scared because I see kind of crazy choreographies going on the fields, but it made me almost heart attack, but I'm still enjoying.
We really love seeing them enjoy music.
After years repairing instruments, Maya has some simple advice.
Please keep your mouth clean before and while playing instrument, if you're playing the wind instrument. For the string instrument, please keep your hands clean. And for the wind instrument, whatever you eat or drink ends up in the instrument, and that will make the mechanism very sticky or sluggish, or sometimes it just ruins the instrument because they're acid in the saliva.
Recently we've seen three pens and pencils from trombone. We've seen green nasty stuff out of trumpet all the time, and you've seen something.
Yes, at one time I found a human being tooth in the clarinet case, but the weird thing is when I asked the owner of the clarinet, and she had no idea because she didn't lose her tooth. That was
a mystery. Somebody missing a tooth.
So we said, oh, maybe that's the trick from the tooth fairy. To keep your instruments safe, I recommend just putting back in the case when you're done practicing, and don't leave it on the bed or chair or table, and especially you have the younger siblings or pets in the house. Also, every once in a while, I recommend checking the instrument case. If there are any pets here, they can get into the mechanism, and especially for the tiny, very delicate instrument, they can get into the mechanism and make the valves stuck or sluggish. And also, please do not put the string instruments such as violin, viola, cellos, bass directly under the sun or not close to the vent. Don't lean on the neck of the instrument because there's a lot of pressure. And then keep the instrument clean all the time.
We understand that we're renting instruments to the kids, you know? So don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. They're not going to listen. We know. One advice out of 10, if you pick one of that, stick to it, great. Yeah.
You've been listening to the Regional Roundup, a production of Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public and community radio stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including this one. Thanks to KOTO's Julia Caulfield, KLZR's Stephanie Sear, KRCL's Laura Jones, and KFFR's Ryan Wilson for today's show. Our theme music is Take Me Somewhere by Joel Adam Russell. I'm Maeve Conran. Thanks for listening.